Hi, folks. Welcome, and thanks for joining us on The Cream of the Crop, a podcast dedicated to agriculture. We talk to top leaders, share top ideas, and discuss top trends and products. We get to the heart of ag and put the issues on the table. Today, we're going to talk about COVID-19 and worker safety on the farm and the packing house. I'm Walt Shapley. And joining me as a co-host is Steve Maxwell, CEO of Highland Ag Solution, Frank Kelsey, our Chief Science Officer, and Susie Friedland, our producer. So, Frank, as we get into this, we hear a lot of things going on out there, a lot of concern about, we've heard about food, and we know that it doesn't affect food. We've heard about stay in place. We've heard about things in the packing house, but there's a real concern on how do I protect my harvest crew, tractor drivers on the farm, because we know if we lose them, nothing gets harvested. So you've produced a phenomenal piece, and we'd like to go through that with you and talk about that. Steve, did you have something you want to lead off with?
Frank, welcome. Frank, I know you're out in Colorado, and we appreciate you calling in. I know you've been working hard with a lot of companies are calling in right now as to what to do. So we thought it'd be a good idea to get you online where we can do this podcast and people can listen to it whenever it's convenient for them to listen to. So we appreciate you doing it, and we'll turn it over to you to just cover the essentials of what needs to happen.
So, Frank, you've got a ton of experience in this throughout your career in the produce industry. And let's talk about farm safety first. What would you have to say about that? What do they need to be looking for?
Okay. Well, appreciate the opportunity to share all this with folks, and hopefully it helps. The thing I'd say first off, and this goes for the farm level, the packing house, and anywhere, is this is a time to communicate with our employees. What are we doing to protect them? What can they do to protect themselves? So the focus is, you know, what are our procedures? That's what we're going to talk about. If you've made changes to your procedures, make that clear to them what they need to be doing, what you're doing to protect them. Communicate. That will help address some of the hesitation and distraction and fear that folks or carrying based on, you know, all the things they see in the news, social media, outside the workplace. They get bombarded with all these, you know, scary messages. And this way, you're making sure that they know what they need to do and they're focused when they show up for work and know that they're being taken care of. So with that said, you know, at the farm level, looking first at the workers themselves, you know, a lot of folks have folks living in H-2A housing. That is an area where, you know, you've got folks congregated, living together. We've got a lot of common touch surfaces in that area. So that's just like your home. So you want to clean and disinfect any of those surfaces that are frequently touched. So, you know, tabletops, countertops, bathrooms, the kitchen, and the refrigerator door is probably the number one item that is touched by the most people in any household situation. So you don't forget that. But basically, you know, we want to really focus in those locations on disinfecting surfaces. When we move out to the farm level, you know, let's talk about getting from the housing to the work site. If you're loading up the crew on buses to transport out to harvest or do other work in the field, what I would say there is the longer the trip, the more concern there is in terms of having people loaded up on buses at max capacity. So one of the things you can do is cut that down. If you can put one person to a seat as opposed to, you know, I'm thinking bench seats here, one person to a seat instead of two or three, it may take an extra trip or two, but you're reducing that person to person, potential transfer because, people are not just congested and, you know, sitting closely together, in an enclosed space you know, during transport. That's something that you can do to address that right off the bat in terms of like social distancing. You can also disinfect those seats and railings after each trip to make sure that those surfaces don't become a potential site of cross contamination and transfer to employees on their hands, et cetera. So disinfect those with something like Selectricide, a properly registered disinfectant product. The other thing, and this will be repeated a number of times as we go through, is, you know, instruct and train, whether it's refresher training or new training, on proper hand washing techniques. Make sure that folks are washing their hands frequently, doing it correctly, and then monitor that to ensure compliance.
So, Frank, when you get to that part, we've seen a number of reports in the last day or two of people using all kinds of crazy things on their hands from our industry. People asking about, can they use parasitic acid or can they use bleach on their hands?
Soap and water is the best option because it does two things. Number one, I'd say don't use products that are not certified, registered, marketed for use on skin, because the things you mentioned can, you know, cause damage to the skin, can burn you. They're going to cause more harm than good to the employee. So hand washing is really the preferred thing. Soap actually disrupts the virus at the surface and makes it less effective at being able to cause infection. It can actually prevent that by disrupting the surface structure of the virus itself. In addition, we're actually washing away whatever's on our hands. So we physically are removing any potential viruses or any, you know, any organic matter, anything of that nature that's on our hands. So we actually directly impact the virus and also physically remove it in hand washing. That's the preferred method. If that's not available, then hand sanitizers, which are regulated under federal government regulations, those products are designed for skin contact. They have antimicrobial properties, but they are formulated in such a way that they are not going to cause, you know, a lot of harm to your skin. They're designed for skin contact. So those are the types of products you could use if hand washing is not available. You do not want to use bleach or other types of materials on your hands. Another thing at the worker level on the farm that I'd mention is, you know, definitely if someone is feeling ill, and this comes back to training, make sure folks know, you know, what to look for. If you're having any type of cold symptoms, flu symptoms, if you have a fever, that needs to be communicated to the supervisor before they show up for work. And if anyone does appear to be ill, they need to be isolated and should be sent home. There's actually guidance from CDC on how to handle, you know, an illness. There's local health department guidance, because as we're seeing, there are hotspots across the country where folks are, you know, certain communities are having a high level of problems with the virus, a large number of cases. In other areas, not as much. So really, you want to look at your local level, your local health department, for the most current guidance to what your exact situation is, because it can differ, you know, across the country.
Frank, this is Steve. Just a comment I'm here thinking. A lot of our listeners, they are involved in a food safety program of one way, shape, or form. It's very detailed. But what you just mentioned needs to be recorded in those food safety documents, correct?
That is correct. Yes. Yes.
So what I'm thinking is we've got a situation here where traditionally it may not be something we focused on, but we need to be focused on that on their food safety program.
Yes. Yeah. Any changes or updates or upgrades to their procedures should be documented. And any of this monitoring, because basically, you know, any training that you do, any instruction that you give is only as good as your follow through to make sure that it actually gets implemented. So, you know, that's where you're talking about documenting these things, documenting procedures and any illnesses. You know, what did you do, you know, to mitigate that, to isolate that person, all of that sort of thing should be documented.
What about, Frank, things like their portable restrooms?
Definitely at the, you know, you're going to have those out in the field. You ought to have a crew, whether it's an individual or individuals that are assigned to clean those restrooms, those portable toilets, multiple times per day, especially looking at things like, you know, after breaks, after lunch, anytime where you're going to have a high volume in usage, make sure those are clean going, you know, going in and get cleaned up, coming back out. You can even look at things like staggering your breaks such that, you allow for some cleaning so that, you know, the entire crew doesn't head there all at one time. That helps with, you know, employee distancing. That also helps with keeping up with cleaning and disinfecting those areas.
So those that, that's great ideas. What about tractors, that sort of equipment, trucks?
Any equipment that is used, and that would include tractors, tools, any of those types of things that you're using on the farm, you want to assign to the extent that's possible. You know, here, this is your tractor for the day. You're going to drive this one. You know, we want you working with this equipment today. That way you don't have people moving from one to the other, potentially getting some cross exposure there. But at the same time, you can disinfect those surfaces. So you can spray the seat, the steering wheel, the levers in the tractor, in the cab. You can actually treat those surfaces with disinfectant using sprays or wipes, what have you, to keep those surfaces clean and prevent that kind of cross-contamination in the event that, you know, folks do have to share those from, you know, point to point.
Those are all really great ideas. As we move to the packing house, we see a similar situation. We have large numbers of people working very close together, grading, packing, putting product into coolers, loading it into trucks. What kind of ideas should we look at as far as worker safety there?
Well, I'll start with worker health and hygiene again there. That's your number one defense. Make sure everyone knows, you know, what the proper hand washing techniques are, when they are expected to do that. If you have a glove policy, you know, make sure folks are following that, changing gloves when they're supposed to. If part of this hygiene training needs to be, you know, if you are feeling a sneeze or a cough coming on, what do I do? You know, if I can get to a tissue, I want to sneeze into that, dispose of it, wash my hands. If I can't do that, if it comes on quickly, like a sneeze typically does, you know, you want to cough or sneeze into the bend of your elbow rather than into your hands. You know, do it into your shirt kind of a thing. Everything else fails and you sneeze, cover it, sneeze into your hands and then go wash your hands properly. The main thing is you don't want to be coughing or sneezing in sort of in an open, you know, setting where that can travel and potentially impact other workers. So that, you know, that when I say hygiene, that's part of that. If a worker is not feeling well, like we talked about before, they need to be sent home.
I think Frank, that is one of the biggest things as a packing house manager or a agricultural business owner or a farm crew manager. That's the point of entry, right? So to be keenly aware because we all go to work, we don't want to lose our day's wages, but you know, to be keenly aware of anyone that may be exhibiting that.
Correct. And, you know, train supervisors on what to look for. You know, unfortunately, it's allergy season across much of the country. So, you know, somebody may show up with the sniffles, a runny nose, itchy eyes, red eyes.
Wanting to work.
Exactly. Those are things you typically see with allergies. The COVID-19 illness typically has sort of a dry cough, a tickle in the throat, a fever of say 100 degrees or more, but symptoms can be different in different individuals. And as we've seen in the news, you know, not everyone even develops symptoms, and yet they can still carry the virus. So that's why you really have to focus on worker hygiene to make sure that you're doing everything you can there to prevent that transmission, prevent people from potentially picking it up, even though they don't realize they're exposed.
So food safety rules in packing houses require them to sanitize, wash and sanitize equipment. They're covering that, but everybody likes to go to lunch or dinner. So once again, we have a large number of people gathered in one area. What can they do in those areas?
You're going to want to do like you did in the field. You designate either a crew or individuals to clean those employee areas, break rooms, restrooms, meeting rooms, anywhere that people will either congregate, or even if you're doing something like shifting breaks around to minimize congregation, still, people are going to continuously go to that area and use it. So you're going to have a lot of surface touching in those areas. So make sure that you've got somebody assigned to be periodically cleaning and disinfecting those areas on a continuous basis, particularly focusing on, you know, pre and post break to make sure that, you know, we've minimized the risk of surface contamination and transfer. Make sure, you know, we've all been to the store and seen what's going on there. Make sure that, you know, you have someone assigned to verify the inventory of your cleaning and disinfection supplies that you have on hand. Because as we've seen, things disappear from the store quickly. You don't want to, you know, run low on your supplies and then not be able to get them. So make sure that someone is tracking that on a daily basis as well.
And most of these have lockers for them to store their stuff in. How would you handle lockers and that sort of stuff?
As part of your food safety program, you know, you're going to have already an existing hygiene policy, hand washing. You're going to have security for your cleaning chemicals. You know, they have to be locked up so that, you know, they cannot be either inadvertently or purposefully misused. So basically, you know, you'll have somebody who's already in charge of that inventory. Make sure that person is, you know, is the one who's responsible for it.
And also the lockers they put their clothes in, as far as wiping down surfaces, handles, doorknobs, that's important too?
Good point. In any of those types of surfaces, you know, clean those, disinfect those on at least a daily basis. You know, if they're coming in and, you know, storing their personal items in lockers, then they're going to be there for the balance of the day. You know, at some point, get somebody in there to disinfect those surfaces before they go home, and then do that again afterwards before they come back the next day.
So we all know that some of the real heroes today that are keeping us all fed are truck drivers. And every packing house has a number of trucks picking up product, taking it to the grocery stores. What about those guys?
They're the one that keep us supplied and keep things moving. And, you know, a lot of facilities may have like a small area with a fridge or something, you know, a couch, wherever that truck drivers can wait for their load to be loaded or unloaded. Now would be a time to basically tighten that up and restrict the driver's access to the facility, essentially to the restroom. And, you know, essentially, you know, try to get them to wait outside the facility away from your employees. The issue being, you kind of have your own community that you're managing in your business, and you don't know where this person has been. They've been potentially all over the country. You don't know what kind of exposure they've had, and so you really don't want them potentially introducing something to your facility and your staff. So basically, this is a period where you restrict visitors, truck drivers included. Be hospitable about it, but they should understand this is not a time where you want folks hanging around.
So maybe close the truck driver lobby that you have in your business. Let them wait in the truck.
Bingo. Bottom line. Yeah, just do that. And I would add one other thing in terms of visitors in general, make sure that any visitors coming to the facility have a reason to be there. They have an appointment. They're cleared to be there. It's reasonable to ask them how they are feeling that day. Don't let anyone in who doesn't have a reason to be there. And this is a time where, you know, a virtual food safety program that auditors can access can really be beneficial, like our FS365. Auditors can access that information ahead of time, get a head start on the audit. And then when they do show up, they've got basically a checklist of things they need to follow up on. But that, if they do the legwork ahead of time with the virtual system, they don't need to be there as long. They shouldn't need to interact with as many people. They have a very focused approach. And as we know from our audits and our customers' experience, that this really saves a lot of time. Well, now's the point where saving time can reduce exposure to the virus. So, that would be something to really try to push those auditors into doing. We know that FDA is not doing audits right now or inspections except in extremely urgent cases, but we are still seeing all those industry audits.
Hey, Frank, I want to go back to the truck driver situation. I know that driver is responsible for that load after doing this for many years in my career. Yeah. He's going to need to be where that truck's being loaded. So I know we say we want to, ask him to go to the truck, but that's really not reality. So the rule kicks in then, what, the distance rule?
It's the distance rule. Yeah, he can be right on the ground at the dock. If he's on the dock, he doesn't need to be, interacting with employees. I mean, he can be standing
normally right next to their trailers watching it go in. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I've got another question for you. We're going to be slowly coming back to life here as a country. I know the president mentioned today he'd like to have this thing going again by Easter. And it's going to be a slow start back up. But let's just fast forward to the month of June. Maybe hopefully things are getting back to normal. But these procedures should still be followed, correct? I mean, I'm sitting here wondering about the normal flu. We lost 30,000 people last year to the normal flu. I mean, and I know this is a different virus, and we're working on remedies for this virus we don't have right now. But really, these policies should be pretty, I would think, standard. I don't want my employees getting the regular flu, right?
Exactly. Right. Okay. Right. All of these procedures will protect people from colds, flus, norovirus, you name it. If you follow these procedures, you're actually reducing just overall risk of anyone getting sick in the workplace, regardless of coronavirus or anything else. It's just good practice.
Frank, that's a great segue into the last part of this, which is the office, because everybody has to check in at the office, whether you're an auditor, state inspector, visitor, truck driver, everybody has to come into that office.
Well, they need to have a reason to be there. So they should have an appointment. A lot of agencies are now deferring and delaying sort of routine site visits because of the virus. They don't want their employees getting exposed and they don't want to bring anything to your operation. So, you have every right at this point in time to require an advance appointment and not allow, folks just to show up and enter. You know, you want to have so visitation by appointment only. Make sure those visitors stay outside your office until they have been approved, you know, for entry. And, you know, keep meetings very small, you know, one-on-one, if at all possible. That minimizes any potential exposure to, you know, to outside sources.
And of course, the cleaning and sanitation is the same as the rest of the facility.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be cleaning those office areas, meeting rooms. You know, if, for example, you have a workstation that multiple people may use during the day, that's something that needs to be addressed. You can wipe down the keyboard with a disinfectant wipe. You know, clean your officers. Anything that people are frequently touching. You know, don't hand your pen to somebody else to use. You know, keep that to yourself. Simple things like that can make a difference in this environment. So it's you know, really focusing on what I can control and what's in my space.
So let me ask you, if you're going over all of this, what is best for a farmer to communicate to his consumers, probably on their website, or let's say if they do like a social media, if they're doing social media, what should they say? I don't think getting into all of these small details is going to be great, but maybe what can they put on there? And the sheet, by the way, is available for download at highlandhazard.com. So these growers can get the sheet that goes over all the points that you talked about. I'll just put out that out there. But what should we just say on the website if I'm a grower?
You want to reinforce the fact that you have food safety standard operating procedures that address, you know, the major risk factors. They're already in place. You've got cleaning and sanitation protocols in place for your equipment. You have a health and hygiene policy and program in place for your employees. If you've done anything to enhance those and you want to promote that, you certainly, you know, could do that here, that you're taking all the steps to protect your employees and ensure the safety and quality of the product you're producing. FDA has been very clear that there's been no association of transmission of COVID-19 through food or food packaging. It's a respiratory virus. And so it's really an employee, a worker safety issue, not a food safety issue. FDA officials in a conference call last week stated that if an employee on a farm or in a processing plant, you know, is test positive for the virus, that is not grounds for product hold or product recall. What you need to do there is make sure all of your hygiene and hand washing protocols, the things we've been talking about, are in place to protect your employees.
Those are all tremendous ideas. And we know that, as Steve said, long range, if they will adopt these policies, everything will be safer going forward. As we kind of wrap up, are there any other areas you're watching all the news and all the information from the FDA, from the different government bodies, anything you'd like to add concerning that?
Well, a couple of things. One, OSHA just last week released new guidance regarding employees and employers and the work environment. They have four risk categories based on the type of work that you do and the type of exposure you may have to the virus. The highest levels, as you might imagine, have to do with healthcare workers and you know, lots of exposure to sick people. Fortunately, in our industry, you know, food and agriculture, we're going to fall in the low risk category, and that's because we don't have regular contact with people who are potentially infected. That's not part of our job. And we also don't have a high amount of interaction with the public at large, like you would, say, in a retail environment. So really, we're fortunate in that regard. We do have things we can control in our own environment. And it's really focused on, what I would say is four key things. If there's a takeaway from today's podcast, it's, you know, these four things you can implement in any setting. Number one is going to be hand washing and hygiene. Don't touch your face. Do wash your hands. Number two is going to be, you know, distance, social distance to the extent that is practical in your operation to spread, stop the spread of the virus. Coughing, sneezing, that is predominantly how it's thought to spread. So if you can distance, a 6 foot distance or greater is what is currently recommended. Number three, disinfect surfaces that are touched by lots of people. And number four, minimize the sharing of tools and equipment, because really all those things are is a contact surface, a different type of contact surface. So, you know, minimize the sharing of those things, whether it's a forklift, a tractor, a hammer, what have you, and then disinfect those after you use them.
Those are fantastic ideas. Thank you very much for joining us, Steve. Susie, anything to add?
Well, now you took my pen, so now I can't have it back. We just shared a tool.
I can sanitize it.
Frank, thanks for the info.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks for everyone for listening. We'll see you next time on the Cream of the Crop.
Thank you for joining us today. This podcast has been a presentation of Haz Media, copyright 2020, all rights reserved. Be sure to follow us on social media on Instagram and Facebook at Highland Ag Solutions, and catch the video presentation of this podcast on our YouTube channel.